This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
A look at the future, hopefully a very nice future with Gene and Randall, our special guest, Christian Kroma. Very optimistic gentleman. Whatever problems we may have, things in the end are going to work out. I just hope we rediscover each other through the digital revolution. In one way, it helps me with my son Grayson, who lives in Madrid. And rather than worry about Skype or something like that, he uses WhatsApp, which has a great voice feature. So he calls us on WhatsApp, which rings my mobile phone, and we have a conversation costing nothing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so we'd be getting paid to watch commercials like we were just talking about before the break, because, you know, we all are bombarded with enough of them now that I'm sure that, we could make a pretty good living doing that. Maybe. I don't know. It does sound like a really idealized world in a lot of ways. It reminds me of the Donald Fagen song, IGY. If folks out there aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, just look him up. Donald Fagen, IGY. Very optimistic look at the future. What about returning to the idea of blockchains? Now, you were saying, well, you can see sort of like there's a dark side to that, just like there is to AI, but I'm not sure what that is. And there's a lot of people out there who really still don't understand this blockchain technology. How is that going to move forward and help us in the future?
Well, today we are dependent on third-party companies, which, like banks, for example, or governments, which have a ledger, a big book with all kind of transactions between people, and they are in charge. And what you see today with cryptocurrencies, for example, is that you can create some kind of mesh-like connections with a lot of people. And all those people can do transactions with each other, even if they haven't seen each other in the past, or they don't trust each other. But the technology is providing the trust. So in the future, we will be able to do transactions with people all over the world, and the technology will make it secure, make it trustworthy. And I think that's a positive thing. So if you are going towards organizations where we work in some kind of virtual cloud, like a flock of bird-like organization with a lot of people working in virtual reality together, we can trust those people. We can share information with those people. We can share contracts. We can do payments or any kind of transaction. And blockchain can help us to do that in a secure way. So it will empower individuals to do transactions without having a bank or having a government or a big corporate organization in between, which is taking a big chunk out of the profit. So I think the people who sell products can sell their products for a better price, and people who buy products can buy it for a better price because there's nothing in between. So everyone benefits. And I think that is one of 10 or 20 big benefits that come with blockchain-like technology. And again, a blockchain is still in its infancy. It's there for a couple of years now, but I think it's nothing what will be in 10 years from now. And as I mentioned before, the new internet that is coming, which is entity-based instead of application-based, is working on a blockchain-like principle, which is completely transparent, completely open. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Just like the cells communicate within our body, it's completely transparent, completely open, and it's based on trust. And I think that the blockchain-like technology is bringing us in that direction. That's exactly what we need right now.
Isn't blockchain still dependent to some extent, though, on the maintenance of large servers? I mean, we have our individual wallets, but those have to interface out on the internet. And even if it was an ad hoc network, like where you're saying that people can create their own networks, for it to work really well on a large scale, I think it's going to require supercomputers, and somebody's got to take care of those, right?
Well, if you look at the traditional blockchain technology, you have mining. So you generate new cryptocurrencies by using a lot of computer power. But the new 3.0, like blockchain technologies, use completely different technology, like triangulation. So they randomly check a couple of hosts in your neighborhood and check if the checksum is correct, and then they can do the same transaction as the traditional blockchain. And the traditional blockchain should check all the million of records all over the internet. So that process costs a lot of processing power and energy. But the new blockchain technologies don't use that old, slow, and processing heavy technology anymore. So we also proceed in that direction. And everyone almost has a supercomputer in his pocket. If you look at the new generation of smartphones, there's a lot of computing power in there. And if you have a mesh-like network, which is distributed along the people, you can use that processing power at will. So I think everything is already there. Only people should accept it, that these new technologies are coming our way. And I think the move that Facebook is making right now with their cryptocurrency, every big central bank in the world and government is worrying about it. And I think that's a good thing, because that they're really scared about what's coming. And it shows the power of these kind of technologies. I don't think Facebook is the right organization to bring this new kind of cryptocurrency, but I think they will break the ice for more smaller startups that come afterwards, that don't have to fight the big governments and the big money. And Facebook will do that for them. So I think it's a good development, and we'll see what comes next.
Okay, so even if we don't have then, say, these large centralized data server systems that are out there, which we see now really running a lot of the big infrastructure, even if it becomes something more decentralized where individuals with something like cell phones or personal computers are able to work the network, you still need the network infrastructure, and cell towers or metal structures, they require a company to maintain them. So we're still looking at that in terms of having to be a kind of a organized corporation. I don't think it's something that you could just do, say, the type of real-time adaptation that other virtual-type companies could do. You've got to get someone in a truck to go out to climb the tower, to put the stuff in. You see what I'm saying there, right?
No, not per se. I think if you look at the human body, cells are communicating with the speed of light. They use biophotons, and they're communicating with each other. And we are going in the same direction. In the body, we don't have cell towers, which centralized points of information distribution is all connecting with each other. And basically what we already see is Li-Fi, for example. Li-Fi is developed by a French professor, and it's based on light. So the next generation of Wi-Fi is using light, not radiation, but light. And it has a much bigger frequency range, and it's much faster. So if cars have these lights in their headlights and they are driving towards each other, they can start to communicate. If you're in a building with lights, everything can communicate with each other. So the Internet of Things that people talk about will use a completely different way of sending and transmitting data. It will use light instead of radiation, I think, in the future. And the technology is already there. It will be implemented in the IEEE standard in 2021. And Philips in the Netherlands, it's a big light factory, I think world-known company. They already bought a company that uses this Li-Fi technology. So I think that we will see a different kind of decentralized way of sharing data, of communication, just like the cells in our body communicate with each other. And then the big cell towers are not needed anymore, because you have a mesh-like network. And if some nodes in that network will fail, then it will take another route, just like the Internet does today. So I think these problems will solve themselves with new generations, new sorts of technologies in the near future.
I kind of think here 5G may also pave the way, because 5G will mean ultra-fast cellular communications, but as with Verizon Wireless, they may try to use this as a replacement for home internet, partly because the expense of laying wire, especially fiber, for ultra-fast connections is hugely expensive. But if you can do it all wirelessly, think of all the money they could save until, of course, they perfect a transmission and reception system for your home, for your TV set, etc., etc. Christian Kroma, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Christian Kroma, I have a really crazy question for you, but it's not so crazy. Obviously, because of the kind of show we have, we do talk about UFOs, possibility that maybe now we're being visited by alien beings. But it is inevitable, whatever you believe, that there is probably life in outer space, and even if they're not here now, there may be something out there that we will meet along the way, a first contact, like, of course, Star Trek First Contact, meeting extraterrestrials. Have you thought of the impact to our society if we met someone from out there?
Yeah, it will be huge, I think. It will change all the differences that we have between countries and states, etc. And we will look completely different towards evolution and things like that. So I think it will be massive if we will have some kind of encounter, which is, I think, perhaps in the future is registered in a much more trustworthy way, because if everyone has a smartphone and registrates sightings and stuff, and AI is connecting all these things together, we can work towards some kind of truth, so you don't have independent stories anymore, but a collective knowledge about what's happening around Earth. So I think it will have a massive impact if something like that will happen. Yeah, of course.
Specifically, what kinds of impact do you see, like to the energy industry? Because now we see examples of something way more advanced. Will it affect technology? Will it affect religion?
Religion? Yeah, absolutely. It will totally change our story of our past and make religion less relevant. It will change the energy industry, I think, because there are a lot of new zero-point-like technologies for energy out there, and they are suppressed by large corporations. So if these technologies are open in the wild, like open source on the web, and people can use it, then governments and large corporations don't have the power that they have today, because if people can generate their own energy, they can do basically everything. If you have an energy generator, you have a 3D printer, and you have the internet connection, you can do anything you want. You can create products, you can create services local without relying on governments or these kind of big organizations. So I think it will change the entire structure of our society deeply, absolutely.
Well, the other thing here is the danger. When more primitive cultures are visited in this planet by more advanced cultures, the primitive culture is supplanted. So if ET comes here, they're 1,000 years ahead of us. Doesn't that also present the danger that whether they want to or not, they're going to hurt who and what we are?
Well, I hope that before this will happen, we will be reacting as a collective, not as an individual, but as a collective, and technology is taking care of that right now. If that kind of encounter will happen in the next 10, 20, 30 years, humanity will respond in a collective way, not as an individual or a government. And I hope that that response will be positive, from intention of love or connection, instead of a hostile intention.
Yeah, we sure would have to hope that it's not some kind of Independence Day invasion. I tend to think a lot of that is pretty Hollywoodized, and from our experience here within the world of the paranormal and ufology, there are many of us who already, from our own experience, are convinced that alien visitation is a reality anyhow. And it's interesting how that has driven forward technology too. Once you look at it from a more objective point of view as to how it's affected culture. So we have billionaires, for example, who are launching their own investigations into space, like Bigelow Aerospace, for example. He is a believer, seen UFOs himself, and he's working on projects with NASA. There are people in Silicon Valley who have had experiences with it as well, who are saying, look, I need to figure out how that thing works. I know it works somehow because I've seen it. So these are driving factors towards future innovation. Even if it seems like it's a little bit on the fringe, there's no question that it's out there. Even if we just find other planets, the discovery of exoplanets, a signal, even a signal from another system, whether or not they've come here or not, will change a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen the movie The Arrival a couple of months ago, and they use smart artificial intelligence to decode that signal. And I think as technology improves in the next decades, we will be able to decode all kind of information in a much more efficient way. And then if some kind of society contacts us, which is 1,000 years ahead of us, I trust that they have a much higher level of consciousness, and they will be very well equipped to handle our lower level of consciousness and to communicate with us. So I'm not that afraid that I think it will impact the most the traditional organizations that we have, like governments and religions and stuff. But on an individual level, I think many people are already convinced that there's more, and they are just looking for proof. If that proof is presented in a specific way, I think it will be adapted much faster than we can imagine.
Of course, the late Stephen Hawking, who died, last year? He predicted a harmful impact by being visited by alien beings, because I guess the other assumption is we like to think that advanced beings have gone beyond our petty tribal conflicts. They're not as bad as we can be sometimes. But what if the reverse were true?
Well, personally, I don't believe that. I think our next level in evolution is becoming, having some kind of global consciousness connected by smart technology, just like the cells in our body, the billions of cells in our body, like act like one entity, like one organism. And I think that is the next stage in evolution. And if a different kind of extraterrestrial species or whatever has gone through those steps, they have a more holistic a view or approach towards working together, etc. So I think that the level of consciousness is very important, and they will have a higher level of consciousness, otherwise they haven't gone into space, I think. So I'm quite positive, but that's my personal opinion.
I'd like to go back to the beginning of your personal discoveries on the parallels between biology and technology, when you took it upon yourself bravely and given no other choice to save the life of your daughter, who medicine had basically given up on at the time. How did you do it?
Well, she was in hospital, and the doctors, they gave her a terminal diagnosis. They couldn't help her. There was no treatment, no medication available. So after 3 months, we decided to take her out of the hospital. And it was a very tough decision, because the hospital was kind of safe environment, but not safe because they couldn't help her. So we took her home, and we started our own research. And I started to read books, trainings, etc. And then I find out about a more holistic approach towards health, a more holistic perception about how the human body works and how we work on a cellular level. And that's where I started to learn and read books about intercellular communication. So how individual cells are communicating with each other. What I basically find out is that these cells have two extreme states. On one hand, they can be in a stress state. And if a cell is in a stress state, it reduces its communication with the environment. And as a result, all kind of things can go wrong in the body, like a disease. And on the other side, cells can be in a relaxed or a thriving state.
More to come with Christian, Gene, and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas has caused 20 deaths. 26 people are injured. Mayor DeMargo.
We will remember their lives and honor their memories together. Our community will not be defined by this senseless, evil act of violence.
Many people are worried and looking for their loved ones. This man is looking for his elderly mother. He said he was on the phone with her right before the shooting.
We haven't seen or heard from her since. and she's not in any of the hospitals, so.
I want to just find my mom. Somebody needs to tell me where she is. I want to know if she's dead or alive or if she's still in Walmart.
Police say it was a singular shooter. The 21-year-old man had a manifesto which they believe may have been written by the killer. It denounces the rising Hispanic population in Texas.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
More about the future and the impact, and of course, what led Christian Kroma to start his quest with Gene and Randall. Randall?
So just before the break there, we were talking about how you took it upon yourself to save the life of your daughter by working with alternative therapy that involved light therapy so that, if I'm understanding you correctly, it improved the intercellular communication and draws upon the body's own healing abilities. Can you expand on that some more, please?
Yeah, sure. What I found out is that cells use biophotons to communicate with each other. And this was discovered by Fritz Albert Popp. He's a Nobel Prize winner. And he discovered that cells emit a very weak amount of light. And in that light, there is information encoded. And that's the way that cells communicate in real time with each other. So we found a couple of therapies based on this technology, on this insight. And it saved our daughter's life. And today our daughter is 8 years old. And she's doing great. She's going to school. She has a normal, completely normal life. But also, it did something else. It saved our daughter's life, but it also gave me some different insights and perspectives about technology and society and organizations. I've been a technology entrepreneur for 15 years, and I helped large organizations to reinvent themselves, to disrupt themselves. What I start to see is that individual cells behave like human beings. They have the same needs and the same behavior. But groups of cells behave in the same way as organizations, as groups of people. And as I start to do more research, more and more parallels and correlations start to appear. So what I found out is if you look back in our evolution of biological organisms, the first big disruptive wave was about cells start to develop a way of communicating with each other. So what they did is they communicate with each other and start to create groups, so small communities of cells, which we call multicellular organisms. This was basically the first disruptive waves in biology. And after a while, these organisms became bigger, and they needed some kind of infrastructure. to deliver building blocks and energy to all the corners of the organism. So they start to develop a digestive system, organs, but also a vascular system to transport all the nutrition and stuff on the inside of the organism. That was the second big wave. It's about infrastructure. Organisms became bigger, more complex, and they needed some kind of information infrastructure. So then we entered the third big wave in biology, which was about nervous systems, but also senses. And organisms started to develop a central nervous system, a peripheral nervous system, senses, eyes, ears, all these things that helped them to adapt to the environment, and that increased their rate of survival. After a while, there was so much information flowing over these nerve systems that they needed some kind of automation. So in the fourth wave, they started to develop the reptile brain, which is basically the CPU or the operating system that automates all the internal processes in our body. And that's basically when the dinosaurs appear. They used, how do you call it, the reptile brain to hunt more efficiently, to gather food more efficiently, etc. Then the next big wave, the fifth wave, was about the limbic brain. So communities of cells, organisms start to develop the limbic brain, which is deemed the mammal brain. We also call it the social brain, which helped us to recognize and remember situations, environments, and behavior of other organisms. We start to recognize other organisms. We start to copy behavior from them. And we also start to live in herds because we could recognize our friends and family members. Sixth big wave was about the neocortex. And the neocortex brain helped organisms to learn and adapt in real time. So to stand up straight, to keep balance, to solve problems, create fire, create tools, weapons, etc., etc. And the final biological wave was about the prefrontal cortex, which is basically the small part of the brain in front of your skull, which helps us to visualize things that are not yet there, to understand conceptual things like the states, like religion, all these things. And what I discovered is that these waves today are repeating itself. But now it's not about cells using biology to create organisms, but it's about sapiens, humans, using technology to create organizations. And as we arrived with the prefrontal cortex, we were able to develop our own way of communicating with each other. So we start to connect in groups, small communities. And that was basically the first big technology wave that we have seen, the agricultural revolution. We start to share concepts, ideas, and those went global. And eventually, the agricultural revolution was the first big technological wave. The second big wave, when our communities and cities became bigger and bigger, was about infrastructure. In 1700, 1800, we started to develop the vascular system and the digestive system of our society. We started to develop industry, which is able to convert raw materials into iron for railroads, oil pipelines, and the energy grid as we see today. So that's basically the vascular system and the digestive system of our society. That was the second big wave, the Industrial Revolution. At a certain point, we start to develop electricity. And with this electricity, we can send messages from one side of the earth to the other using the radio, the telegraph, radio, television. We start to develop sensors like the microphone, like the camera, etc., which helped us to become more aware of our environment to increase our survival rate. And it was basically the third big wave, the telecom revolution. At a certain point in time, there was so much information flowing over these nerve systems, over these telecom networks, that we needed some kind of automation. So in the 50s, the 60s, companies like IBM start to develop computers, CPUs, operating systems, and softwares, which is basically the reptile brain of an organization. It's helped organizations to automate all the internal processes so that it can focus on the outside world more efficiently. Then we entered the social media revolution, the fifth wave, which started in 1998 when the internet became more mature. And that's basically the limbic brain. It helped us to store information on the web, first in text, later in pictures, videos, and today we share everything. But it's creating some kind of global memory, which helps us to recognize situations, behavior of other people, but also to live more in groups. And that's what we see today with Facebook, etc. These are very large communities of people together, much bigger than countries itself. Now we are entering the sixth wave, which is the AI revolution, which is the equivalent of the new cortex brain. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning in the cloud, which is helping us to make sense of all the data which is stored in the last 20 years. All our purchase decisions, all our emails, all the stuff. AI is learning from that, and it's creating some kind of new cortex of humanity, which helps us to behave in a more, I think, more a collective way. And eventually we will enter the last wave, which will be the AR, augmented reality, virtual reality wave, which is the equivalent of the prefrontal cortex. It will help us to visualize things that are not yet there. It will help us to work together as a collective, as one big collective. And I think that wave will start somewhere in 2025 or so, 26, 27. Eventually, in 2035, this last wave will end. And I think that will be the moment where humanity starts to wake up, where we are so connected with each other that we start to behave like one single organism, just like the sapiens emerged of all of those biological systems. We will have some kind of species, all the cells, all the sapiens working together as one big organism. And after that, I think it will cover the rest of the earth very fast, because more people will start to be attached to this big organism, and we start to have a different kind of society, which is more holistic, which is more as a collective with one single consciousness connected by smart technology. So that's basically, in a nutshell, the seven biological waves and the seven technological waves. And as I mentioned before, these waves repeat themselves on each basic fundamental level of our universe, on a cellular level, on a molecular level, on an atomic level, on a subatomic level, and on a level of light, of the spectrum of light. Yeah, that's basically it. And that's also why I'm very positive, and also, how do you call it? Yeah, I'm quite positive where we are going. I think we will have some struggles on our way, but then in the end, we will go to one single like organism, and technology is connecting us towards this.
Well, I'm going to ask a question about that. That may be the negative spin as we're doing here. More to come with Christian Kroma, Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, of course, as you talked about a collective, I thought, well, Beehive for one, but of course, in sci-fi, the Borg, a collective, but not a very nice collective. What do you think? Assimilate everyone?
Do you mean like cyborg-like collectives? Or?
Sure. That ultimately, as we age, we may find ways to enhance or extend one's life with artificial enhancements. Although I guess we'd like to make 3D versions of the human heart that would replace the original human heart with the same genetic composition. But if we're using more and more gadgetry to extend life, we could be partly cyborg.
Yeah, it's already happening right now because your smartphone is already a part of your brain. It's remembering events, it's storing pictures, it's storing videos, all these things. So we are in that sense already a little bit cyborg, but we are not yet integrating chips into our physical body. Elon Musk is working on that with Neuralink, this is his new company. For people who are disabled or have a handicap or so, it will be very helpful. And sure, there will be people implementing it. But in the future, I think we will go in a different direction. I think, yes, we will extend our lives dramatically. I think that being 100 or 200 years old is not an is nothing special in the future. And that will bring another wave of problems on itself. So, no, every wave is solving a problem, and it's creating a problem on its own, a new problem on a higher level. So many of the problems that we have today will be solved by AI. My AI in itself will create ethical problems, which are much harder to solve. So we will see a lot of these things. We can improve the human body, but should we? So these kind of questions will come towards us in a much higher rate in the near future. And yes, some people will integrate this technology, but I think the majority will choose not to, and then will go for the natural way. And you already see this happening. You see already hotels without Wi-Fi. So not being online is the new premium. And I think the technology will push us to become more human because it's like a mirror. We start to realize what it means to be a human being on this earth. And that sounds a bit woo-hoo, but I think that that's already happening right now. We will become more consciousness, more purposeful, and we will start to use technology in a more purposeful way. And I think cyborgs and stuff, yes, they will be there, but I think the majority will not go in that direction. And like in the human body, biology is not a thing on itself. It's only the connection between cells. And I think that technology in our world is not a thing on itself. It's not in consciousness. It's not an entity on itself. It's only a connection between human beings. And if we start to see it in that way, then it starts to really make a difference in our world.
And, that's really the key, though, isn't it, Christian, is right there, right what you just said. When we go from AI being one of the tools that we use to us being one of the tools that AI uses, that's where the real shift is, right?
Yeah.
So the big challenge, it seems to me, is not letting the latter happen, but it looks like the way we're going, there's not going to be any stopping it. So there's some people that just, they say, I'm disconnecting. There are still communities out there who go, I'm not going to be part of this. They still use horses and wagons to do their transportation, and they're off the grid completely. It's what's going to happen to people who don't buy into being connected?
Well, this is the same. If cells of your body are not connected, they can live for a while, but not eventually not for a very long extent. So I think in the end, it's everyone will be connected to the bigger part, but not in the sense that we use technology today. It will be a completely different way of technology, more based on light, more on an energetic level. Let's call it that way. So I think there will be different kinds of communities which are separated, which are off-grid, and they will stay to exist. But I think the majority will go into the connection with each other, because I think there will wonderful things come out of it. I think if we have a collective consciousness, we will be able to combine the power and the creativity and the productivity of billions of people together. I think we will be unlimited in things that we can do. So I think it will have a lot of benefits. And sure, it will have a downside. For example, virtual reality, augmented reality. I think we are now addicted to our smartphones, but I think we ain't seen nothing yet. If people can put on a glass and they're in a completely different world, which is always nice and always happy, that will be a massive addiction for so many people. So we will see a lot of downsides, but in the end, I think it will bring us, it will unite humanity towards one single organism. And it will help us out to solve the problems that we have today, which are created on a level of thinking, or on an individual level of thinking, and not on a collective thinking level.
Of course, I mean, we've run across the word consciousness a number of times in the conversation, and consciousness isn't something that we understand yet. We have no way to know, for example, whether or not even you or I are conscious. We assume we are, because as human beings, we have that experience. So we assume other human beings are, but we really have no way to know whether or not a machine can be. We don't know enough about it. It's not simply a matter of cogs and wheels. We could end up with a Clockwork Orange that can mimic human behavior and be very intelligent, but intelligence doesn't equate to consciousness. And so how is it then that we can be sure that we're going to have a global consciousness simply by being connected through wires?
I think we can say that people have individual pieces of consciousness, and if you connect those individual pieces, then you go to a collective consciousness, and it will perhaps not be wires, but a different kind of technology in the future. But it's very hard to say. It's not a thing that you can measure objectively, because we are part of it. It's everywhere. So it's very hard to quantify it and to say what it is. But with these new sciences like quantum technology, quantum physics, we are going into a direction where we see that there is some kind of organizing information structure, and the waves that I discovered are also pointing in the direction that consciousness has some kind of behavior. It's solving problems in a specific way, in a specific order, and it's behaving on multiple levels in our universe in the same way. So based on these insights, we can project towards the future that it's happening over and over again. Multiple molecules working together in one cell, multiple cells working together in one organism, multiple organisms working together in one organization. So it's happening over and over again in a fairly consistent way. So nature is creating individuals, and at a certain level, these individuals don't get any smarter, and then they start to combine those individuals in a collective, which start to behave like one single entity or unit again. And then the story repeats over and over again. So I think in that way, if you look at it in that way, that it's inevitable that we will connect, if we are conscious or not, but we will connect as beings, and we become smarter and wiser as a result, and solve many of the problems that we cannot solve today.
What about the theories that we are already connected by a universal consciousness, the collective unconscious? We're already some level connected with one another. It's just finding a way to attach or get in touch with that consciousness to go to the next level.
I believe that also, that there's a lot of already a conscious field which we're all part of. And I think the technology is like a mirror. It's we start to remember that we already have the skills to connect with each other on multiple energetic levels. So I believe that the technology is only a temporary tool that is helping us to remember what it is to have a collective consciousness, because consciousness is already there. And many cultures, they talk about heaven on earth, and I believe that heaven on earth, not in a religious way, but will be the moment that we are connected, like we are connected in a conscious field, in a quantum field, like one single thing with no time and no space anymore. And I think on earth we are going in the same direction, and technology is helping us to get there, but it's not a goal on itself. It's not it's helping us only to get there. So I think it's a temporary thing, and like technology in the past, it will change in form, it will change the way it appears, but in the end, it's connecting people, and it's connecting small pieces of consciousness together.
We've got so much more to come. Futurist Christian Kroma is joining us this week, and some might think this is a departure from what we've been doing on the PowerCast for the past 13 years, but no. A lot of what we've been talking about directly follows. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I gotta tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend Your Voice.